Whether you're publishing with a traditional publisher or you're self-publishing, book marketing is a skill you need to learn because you are the person who really markets your book, no matter who's publishing it. And today's guest has some great tips on self-publishing and book marketing.
The Author Switch.
Hello and welcome to the Author's Switch. This is your host, Karma Spence, author of the best-selling and award-winning book, Public Speaking Superpowers. Today, my guest is Kace Lane. She is a global writer, entrepreneur, podcaster, traveler, and the founder of Ready Entrepreneur. She has self-published 19 books in 7 fiction and nonfiction genres. A former diplomat, consultant, and corporate executive, Kace's overall theme is to prepare for the future by using access to technology and the global marketplace as opportunities to create the life you envision. Welcome to the Author Switch, Kace.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So first, I always like to talk to the authors I have on here about their author's journey. Mm-hmm. How did you become an author? Where did it start and how did you get to the first published book?
Well, I was one of those people who always wanted to be a writer, but like so many learning, you know, as you grow up and people are like, well, you can't make a living as a writer, so you have to go do something else. I went and did everything else. And then I came full circle again when I discovered self-publishing, when I realized that Amazon and Smashwords and these other platforms made it possible for writers to go directly to readers. And I thought, well, if I can write my books and I can then go directly to readers and say, are you interested? So I was actually in law school at the time when I first started, wow. Decided to start publishing. And I had a book that I had written and I thought, oh, I won't go with that. I'll just write something brand new from scratch. So that's what I did. I wrote the first book was called The Motion Clue, which is a techno thriller. And that was the first one that I decided, okay, I'm going to go and see how it works and just, you know, put my book out there and see what happens.
Wow. Now, have you continued with the tech thriller, or are you one of those authors that kind of does different things?
I do different things. So I am basically what I started out there, and then I started writing other books as well, other fiction and other nonfiction. So writing for me, like the actual writing is the part I do best. I can, once I have an idea in my head, I can just write the book. So I actually now currently have 19 books that are out under 7 different genres and 3
wow.
different pen names. Yeah. And that's the part I love the most. But the other side of self-publishing is, of course, you have to do your own marketing and promotion. And that's the part that I'm, like many authors, I'm not good at. And so I'm always happy to go off and do the writing instead of going around and doing the marketing. And that's something I have to get much better at.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you said you have different pen names. Was mm-hmm. that so that it made it easier to market?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. It's making it easier and building a brand.
Yeah.
Really looked at that, and I looked at what so many, you know, other authors are doing, and I thought, you know, this is a way I can, you know, this name is around this particular genre, writing these kinds of books, and I wanted to keep that. And so it was something that I just sort of came into my mind that, yeah, I'm going to go with pen names and then just build from there.
Exactly. Because, you know, with an author brand, and I know I've struggled with this because I write in different genres as well. Mm-hmm. But I've published everything under my name.
Yeah.
Because I like to own my writing. I'm
sure,
just weird that way.
Course.
I'm very territorial. But it makes branding challenging.
Yeah.
And the way I've gotten around that is having a different website for each genre.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I guess that way, you know, if someone happens across one of my cookbooks mm-hmm. and they find me on Amazon, they'll go, oh, she writes books on science fiction, or right. she writes books on business. I'm interested in that too.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of think about it. It's probably not ideal. Oh. What has your experience been with branding, like with separate names?
Yeah. You know, I do that. I do also have separate websites. But the other thing is I have an overall theme, because what happened is people started to ask this, you know, especially friends and family, like, wait, what is this? A completely different book? And I thought, no, I have an overall theme. So my overall theme is around preparing for the future. So that I write future world thrillers. I even have a romance series, which has a future world twist. And then I write a book for entrepreneurs. I write about happiness. And so that's about building your own personal future. So I do keep that in the back of my mind, but I keep it separate in terms of having the separate websites. What's really difficult is when you get into social media, do you want to have like a different page for everything, a different account for everything like that, or just leave it all together and let, because one thing about leaving it all together, if you're working on different things all the time, that means you always have something to be posting about or writing about and so on. So indeed. Whereas if you split it all up, you might go 6 months where you haven't posted anything on, you know, that particular genre page that you have. So it, that's part of the battle as well, is trying to figure out, okay, how best to manage all the, and this is part of the marketing and promotion part that I was slow to sort of come to the game around how this gets played.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you go to my personal profile, you get everything. Mm-hmm. One day I'm talking about food, another day I'm talking about science fiction, another day I'm talking about my cat. But I have branded each page. And, you know, it is an experiment. Book marketing is an experiment because it's constantly changing.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And I think you just have to think about that way, that you do have this ability to go directly to readers, and the readers are out there. Like, that's the other thing. You know, there are so many Facebook groups with for different readers, and
exactly,
you know, there's all these different places where you can go and basically put your work in front of people. You don't want to be always like, you know, buy my book, but you want to be putting your work in front of them. Let them know what's out there, what you're writing about, what's, you know, what's, what it relates to, what is it, you know, that type of thing. So it's just a matter of figuring out what works best. And I always tell authors that are sort of struggling with this, and it's like, oh, you know, my book came out and it didn't do well, whatever. It's like, well, because of these digital platforms now, it's not like a store where they need to make room for the next book. They don't have to move your book out of the way. Your book sits out there forever. So all you could come back and you can market it again. You can launch it again. You could change the cover. You could change the title. You could do all these things. So it's one of these things where you can just, the iteration process is ongoing. And because it's all online, you can just keep going with it. You shouldn't give up. Just try something new.
Exactly. I like to think of book marketing as the long haul.
Yes.
And it's okay to take a vacation from it every once in a while.
Absolutely. You have to do that as well.
Now, you talked a lot about self-publishing. Are all your books self-published?
Yes, they are. And now, so self-publishing, again, was a way to, you know, sort of go directly. I have actually reached out to traditional publishers. I attended Thriller Fest, which is one of the big traditional publishing, well, now I guess it's a bit of everything, but it's a big writers convention. And they had like a, you know, a part of it called Pitch Fest, where you could pitch directly to agents and editors and that type of thing. And I also, I had a different book that I've not published yet, which I'm still going to try the traditional route for that one, because it's based on an existing book. So I've done that, but, and that is the same process. You just have to keep sort of going at it until you find that person that clicks. I'm always heartened by hearing about somebody like a Jack Canfield or J.K. Rowling, who couldn't get anyone to pick up their books that everybody now knows are world famous books.
Because,
you know, you have to find the right editor or the right agent. And so 25 rejections doesn't, it, all that means is you haven't found the right person. You have to keep going back. But that is another process that takes time. Sit down every day, send out your pitches, you know, tweak them a bit, all that kind of stuff. So I've looked at that, but what I love about self-publishing, for example, my last book is called Podcast Discovery. So I was writing about, you know, guest podcasting. The fact that I could just, I'd written a whole bunch of blogs, and I could take those blogs, make them into a book, put it up on Amazon, put it up on all the other sites, and have it out there. And then, you know, be telling people about it, put it on my website, all of that. The fact that I could just do that so quickly, and I can update it when things change, or, you know, that's what I love about self-publishing. And even if you do the print version of self-publishing, you can still keep updating and things like that. So I really like that control. But of course, the marketing, although I must say marketing on traditional, for most traditional publishers, except the biggest names, marketing is on, you know, is on them as well.
So exactly.
It's still you still have to learn to do that, even if you go traditional. But traditional does.
From what I've got understand, and from what I've seen, when you go the traditional route, what happens is it takes longer to get the book out.
Yes, absolutely.
It gives you third-party endorsement. Yes. So the bigger the publishing house, the better the endorsement.
Yeah.
And they can sometimes get you in front of influencers that you couldn't on your own.
Yes.
But you still have to market the heck out of it all on your own.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, at Thriller Fest, I was talking to some of the writers with their first book, and they were asking about these things because they had all got their traditional publishing deals, but they were left on their own to do the
Exactly.
marketing. So they were turning back to, you know, a self-published author to ask about how you do that, because when you're self-published, you spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to promote your book.
Indeed, indeed. Now, do you have any tips for people who are considering going the self-publishing route? Do you know all the steps it takes to go from idea to published book to a business based on that book? You can probably piece them together with internet research, taking classes, reading books, and trial and error, as I have. Or you can take a shortcut. There are lots of steps between an idea for your book and the end goal of a published book that transforms lives and makes you money. It can be very easy to forget a step. That's why I created the Authoneering 101 checklist. It guides you through all the steps so you don't miss one and you can plan for them in advance, weaving them into your overall writing process. Many times, I've gotten to the end of a book project only to realize, nope, I forgot an important step. This meant either I launch on time and not get the results I want, or I postpone the launch, which you can't really do if you've already announced the publish date. That's why I created this checklist. It shares the 8 steps required for writing a book and building a business around it, and I break those steps down into more manageable sub-steps. To learn more and download your checklist today, go to karmaspence.com/authoneering101. That's karma with a C, spence.com/authoneering101. And now back to the podcast. Now, do you have any tips for people who are considering going the self-publishing route, which is actually the route I always recommend because, I mean, yes, there's the instant gratification, but you have so much more control and flexibility, and you can leverage it much more easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and just on that, you know, what traditional publishers still do better is international. So
yes.
You can start out self-published, build up. You can still build a global audience, but the traditional publishers have a much more established process for getting your book out in multiple languages and things like that when it becomes a big bestseller. But I also support starting with self-publishing. I started by taking courses. I took online courses. I took Your First 10,000 Readers as a course, the Self-Publishing School course. You know, this was a way to have a laid out process for how you do this. And one of the things I did was because Your First 10,000 Readers is a course that's very technical. It has all of the DIY stuff in there. So I built my own website, built my own landing pages. No, I mean, I say built, but I use the technology to build everything.
Right. Yeah.
But I did all that myself. But that was great too, because you talk about how it's a much more instant gratification. It's the same thing on that marketing side. You can quickly change your website. You can quickly change your landing pages and make those differences. So I would definitely recommend for people, if you're just, you have no idea where to get started, try one of the courses, work your way through it, and just keep going. Like we were saying earlier, you know, it's a great process. You can write this book, you can put it out there. There are readers out there. There's a lot of places to find them. So just keep going once you've actually finished the book.
Exactly. And I mean, to piggyback on what you just said, don't just take any course.
Mm-hmm.
Take a course from a mentor you want to follow.
Absolutely.
If you resonate with that mentor, if that mentor is doing what you want to do, follow that mentor and take that person's courses, because you'll get a lot more out of the courses if you like the person who's teaching you the content.
I agree. And I'd also say, you know, back on the marketing, both of the courses that I took, it was a couple of years ago now, but neither one of them emphasized marketing the way that I think it has to be emphasized. And now they're starting to change. You know, when you take these online courses, you get lifetime access. So you can go back and see what they've changed and how they've updated it. And they're getting better at that now. But I would definitely say, and I know authors hate this because I just want to write. I don't want to think about marketing. But, you know, 6 months before you start writing, think about who are the people or where are the places where you can go to get your first readers. You just need those first ones that can help, you know, you need those reviews in the beginning. It's just Amazon is a search engine. So people are going in there looking for certain types of books. But if they don't see any reviews for yours, they're going to pick the other one, and they're randomly picking. So if you've got good reviews and a book that resonates with some topic somebody wants to read about, they can randomly pick you, but you have to have that first, you know, you have to have social proof, they call it. So it's that first bunch of reviews. So when you first start getting started, you haven't started building things up, think about all those people. And I know, like, you haven't talked to your cousin in 10 years, but they love this subject, you know, so call them and say, would you write a review in 6 months? You know, just put it out there so that you can then come back to them later and say, and just build up your list, get 100 names together and just have them ready to go, so that it makes it so much easier when you actually go to promote the book and you've got reviews and you can throw it out there and be marketing it from a position of strength, which is something that I just never knew in the beginning.
Exactly. You know, there's the old adage, you know, always be selling. Well, I think when it comes to book marketing, always be asking for book reviews.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And again, like we were talking about before, how you always go back and do it. Go back now. Like, if your book's been up there and it's been languishing for a while, start making your list right now. Like, it's never too late. Like, you know, it's great to do it before, but if you didn't do it, then go do it now.
Exactly. Yeah. And one tip, which I'm thinking of implementing in my next book, is put in the book at the end, did you like this book?
Yes.
Please write a review.
Yes. Yeah. That is one of the tips I had from one of my courses. And I do that all the time. And I saw a writer do it very well. They made it, this is a little sneaky, but they made it just look like it was still part of the book. So the book had actually ended.
Yeah.
The next part was something like that. Like, it was sort of like a summary that said, if you really enjoyed this, you could leave a review. So it was the end of the book. And I thought, oh, that's a cute way to do it, because instead of sort of putting a big headline that says, please leave a review, and people can skip over it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that would be like good. Next steps.
Yeah.
Like this book.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea. Yeah. And I know it sounds sneaky, but remember, you know, if somebody actually got to the end of your book, they found value from it. It doesn't take that much. The other thing I found is a lot of people don't know how to leave reviews. Like, you see tens of millions of reviews, but first of all, you have to spend $50 on Amazon.com, and people are like, oh, we have a family account and I can't leave the review because it's under someone else's name and that kind of stuff. So that's when you're going through that process of finding the people who can leave you reviews, you have to ask those questions too.
And there is that. Yeah. And it took me
a review, and yeah,
it took me while to figure that out, because by the time that even came on my radar, I had already spent way more than $50 on Amazon. Yeah. So it wasn't an issue for me.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just something to keep in mind. So you kind of need to create reviewing is, and I can't say it's a profession or anything, because Amazon wants them all organic, and I agree. They should all be legitimate reviews. They have to be, or Amazon will take them down. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
So you just,
so when you ask them, ask for an honest review. I mean, if you think the book sucked, well then, I'm sorry you thought it sucked, but you know, you have a right to say that too.
And go after people that you know are interested, at least in the subject, that they would read it anyway. So when you're making your list of everybody you could think of, you know, if you write in different genres, put different people under different genres and just go after them when you have a new book in that particular genre.
That's a good idea. Do you have any other tips that would help people market their book that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, you know, a lot of the technical things, I know people get a little concerned about that. Like, how do you, and I always, that's another thing I say, get that done early so that you've got the cover, for example. And then, so you can have the cover done before you've started writing, and then you can start marketing to that cover as well. A lot of people will look at that and say, oh, I'm looking forward to reading that book. That's, you know, it's a cool cover or something like that. So you want to have that ready. And as you go out and you're thinking about the full set, it could be fiction or nonfiction, where else does your book relate to other stories and things that are going on in the world? Because you might be able to approach, you know, podcasters, for example, to talk about a different subject. You might be able to approach the local TV network or something like that. Like, you write science fiction, I write science fiction, but there's so much going on in the world right now that's around, you know, high tech stuff and AI and the future and all of that. If you could relate it to something else that's going on, you might be able to get into a conversation that you wouldn't typically think of. You might, instead of just thinking of yourself as a writer of books of a certain genre, and therefore I can only talk to people who are talking about writing or talking about this genre, think of it more broadly and see where else you can fit into the conversation.
Exactly. I mean, one excellent example is my favorite author is Ray Bradbury. Mm-hmm. And he would get asked to speak on panels at NASA.
Yes.
He's a writer of fiction, you know, it's like, but yes, you need to think outside of the box. Yeah. And if you wrote a work of fiction, you probably did some research.
That's the thing.
In order to give that book verisimilitude.
Yes.
Therefore, you have something to contribute to the conversation on that topic you researched.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point to make, because that's what the other people are looking at as well. You're now an expert because you're about that subject. So even if it's fiction, whatever you're writing about, whatever relates to real world is what people will pick up on. And of course, with nonfiction. So you can take that level of expertise, you're one step ahead of everybody else who's thinking about it. And you can then take that to your local stations, you know, of course, everywhere online, you'll reach out to different groups and just say, this is what I talk about. This is my area of interest. And pick something in there that they're not talking about, or they might be interested in, talk about the audience you're reaching out to, so that you actually can then pinpoint on something that maybe they haven't covered yet. And that, again, elevates you into that expert status of the person who's going to be talking about it.
Exactly. And like you said, if you wrote a tech thriller, people say whatever tech it was, you could talk to an audience of people who are tech interested, because people who are tech interested are often going to read tech fiction.
Right. Exactly.
Your audience is not as narrow as you think it is.
Yeah. And you can also keep up with, like we talked a minute ago about updating your Facebook page, for example. So everything that's happening in the real world, again, especially with tech, you can pull articles that you see, you know, cool things online, and put those on your page as a way to keep the audience engaged with your books in between, you know, that this is the book, my series is called the Life Online series. And so in between new books, I'm constantly posting about different things that I see that are related to what I have in my books. And again, that helps build your expertise, because, you know, you're part of the discussion of the subject matter that you're writing about, even if, you know, if you're writing fiction.
Yeah. And you're curating content, and experts curate.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So
The readers are broadly interested. So that's how you can reach out across different spheres to find places where you can talk about your book and promote your book.
Perfect. Well, we are coming up to the end of the podcast. I would love to talk with you more, but we're out of time. Okay. So if someone wanted to learn more about you and your books and what you do, where would they go?
Yeah, so please reach out to me on Facebook. You can find me. I am at Case Lane World, and on Twitter as well. And you could get all of my books are available. I would say almost all of them are available everywhere. I know some of them are Amazon Kindle Unlimited, but those are usually just the latest ones. But you can find all the books everywhere if you go to the Amazon page for Case Lane. And if you're interested in the Life Online series, the very first book, the prequel, is free everywhere. So you can find it on all the different, any site that sells ebooks, you'll find the book. It's called The Origin Point.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your wisdom today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, this is the end of The Author Switch. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
The Author Switch at authorswitch.com.